crucified with Christ, knowing that we have risen with Christ, knowing these truths. As last week I said, knowing, reckoning, that is counting it done for myself, and then yielding, that is in the moment, actively taking hold of that which is mine in Christ. And that all these things are done by faith. And I feel like before we go back into Romans 7, look at the law and grace, that sometimes, and just in conversations with people, a lot of people are struggling with, well, how do I believe that? What kind of experience do I need to have so that it becomes mine? So that I can be living where I am crucified with Christ, and that I am risen with Christ, and that I am yielding or presenting myself to God. And I just want to kind of clear up that from the scriptures and see the simplicity of what God has for us, that it isn't the inward look that's going to accomplish that. It isn't what you do. It isn't your striving. It isn't your sincerity. It isn't your effort. It's none of those things. And as long as you look inwardly, you will never be able to rest. But when you look away from yourself and you look to God, that's where you'll find rest. And so the key of that is really faith. And that, so tonight I want to go through some truths that you probably know already, but to think about them in relative to your own experience now, what faith means and how it can be applied in your life. So we're going to go through some teaching on faith tonight to help, I think, to lay hold of that which God has laid hold of you for. And so that you can actually believe God for yourself right now. And that's really what he's looking for you to do. Regardless of your experience, regardless of your failure, regardless of how you might feel about this or that, because a lot of times what happens is people are chasing an experience. And if I could just get this kind of experience where I would know that it's true, then I would that experience would carry me. But that won't carry you, because tomorrow you might not feel the same way. And so you do not live by your experience. You live by what? The just shall live by faith. So for a few moments tonight, I just want to look at some verses to do with faith. Bear with me. I'm going to kind of waltz on through. But at least I got the scripture in front of you to help you out with that, hopefully. And so the first thing I wanted to see is that the necessity of faith, that this is the prerequisite that God gives to us. In John chapter 6, Jesus was asked a question by the people who had come after him because he had given them free bread. And they asked this question, what works must we do to work the works of God? And the answer that was given, does anybody know what the answer was? What works must we do to work the works of God? Believe. This is the work of God. Believe on him whom he has sent. You know, this was a profound question, really, because it really presented them, what do I have to do so that I can do God's work? And the answer that Jesus gives back is, this is the work of God. Believe on him whom he has sent. It is so simple that we sometimes miss it. But the necessity of faith, we see in from Hebrews, the definition in Hebrews 11, 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Whoever comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And then a verse from Habakkuk, behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. And so we can see here, stay on there for a second, hon. Thanks. We can see in Hebrews 11 that faith is an absolute necessity and a prerequisite. And then when we look at that verse in Habakkuk, it's interesting to see that the opposite of faith is what? Pride. Is that what it says? Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Now, I don't want to condemn anybody today, but I want you to understand that the opposite of faith is pride. Now, how is that? Because you're doing it yourself. Or you're not doing it yourself. Because you're looking at yourself and you're looking at your own resources, and so you're instead of relying on God, you're looking away from him. Sometimes we call that inverted pride. Sometimes we know that we can't do anything, but we don't believe that God can do it for us. Now, if you don't believe that God can do it for you right now, that's unbelief. And that is an independent spirit from God, however you want to look at it. And that is what we see here. The opposite is pride instead of depending upon God. And that's not a nice picture, but There's an answer to it. There's an answer for that as well. Keep going, honey. Now, yeah, and here's the other verses that were quoted. These are three quotes from the Old Testament in the New Testament concerning that same phrase. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. The righteousness of God, not the righteousness of me or the righteousness of you, not your performance, not how you're doing, but what God does. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11, no one is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And this was in Galatians chapter 3, he was talking to Christians who had suddenly moved away from simply depending on God and began to look at their performance and think that their performance was the answer and their experience or whatever it was, instead of simply looking by faith. Now, the just shall live by faith, Hebrews 10:38, if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. And that is, of course, another statement that there is no life without faith at work. It's absolutely necessary. So just put that at the top of the list in terms of moving forward, in terms of resting and abiding. It's a faith thing. It's a faith thing. It's necessary. Absolutely. But I want to go further than that and just look at what the source of faith is. And so the next slide, honey. And we see the source of faith is given in the scriptures here. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 21, there's two verses here that are profound in this way. Peter called to remembrance, said to him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. Now you notice this is the King James up here, because the King James has a proper rendering of these passages of scripture, and some of the other ones have kind of just changed it around a bit, but the literal translation is this, and Jesus answered unto them, have the faith of God. Now, most translations say, have faith in God. But the literal Greek is, have the faith of God. And so we understand that even faith itself, the source of faith is not found in ourselves, it's found from God. Now, I don't know if that encourages you or discourages you, but that's the truth. It's the faith of God. Without him, we can do nothing. We couldn't even believe without him. But we're going to see and find out, well, has God shortchanged us in the area of faith to be able to believe the promises? Has he shortchanged any one of us here tonight? I don't think he has. But remember that the source of faith comes from God. So you don't have to try and, if I can only believe it strong enough. And you know, that's not what you have to do. It's not something you have to muster up within yourself. It's something that God gives. And Galatians 2:20 has the same phrase, the same idea. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which now I live in the flesh, excuse me, I live by what? The faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Not by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The literal translation is, it's the faith of the Son of God. Now, that's the source of faith. That's a good source. Because if you have the faith of the Son of God, is it a sufficient faith? Would it be sufficient, do you think? I think it would. I think it would be quite confident that the faith of the Son of God will carry the day. Whereas my faith alone is a feeble affair. But the faith of the Son of God does something different. Next slide, Marie. So now I want to talk about the measure of faith. Okay, just to see how much faith is necessary in order for me to enter into a place where I can say, I'm crucified with Christ. I'm not living, Christ is living in me. Where I can say, the old man has died and I've risen as a new creation, I count it done, and I can trust that God, I'm presenting myself to God in this moment to be everything for me that I need to be right now. God is always expecting us to live in the present moment. You can't live in the past. You can't live in the future. I have this moment to present myself to God as alive from the dead and victorious. So, is it great faith or little faith that will accomplish this? What do you think? Okay, so what's the answer? Is it great faith or little faith that's going to make sure that you're abiding or resting? Pardon me? Okay, could be either, right? But if you feel like you're a man of little faith, which a lot of us sometimes feel like, or a woman of little faith, maybe you feel, okay, if only I could get more faith, I'd be all right. I'd make it. Let's see what it says here. Jesus said, Luke 17:3, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And Luke 17:4, and if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day he returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. So here's Jesus teaching about forgiveness. And what are the disciples' reaction to that? What do they say? Lord, increase it. Why did they say that? Why did they say, Lord, increase our faith? Okay, so seven times they would say repent, seven times you forgive him. The disciples said, I'm lacking. Isn't that what they said? I'm lacking. God, I can't do that. So the answer to this then is, Lord, increase my faith. If you would increase my faith, then I'd be able to do this, whereas with a little bit of faith, I can't do this. Right? So that was their emphasis was, this is a task that's beyond me, and if only I had more faith, then I would have it. So God, if you'll just increase the faith that I have. And so their focus was on having more faith. Isn't that what their focus was on? Right? And they thought, that's the solution to this impossibility that I can't do. And what was Jesus' answer? If you have faith as a mustard seed, how big is a mustard seed? You know, it's real tiny, right? If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots, be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. So what is Jesus' answer to their cry for more faith? You have all that you need. So I want you to know tonight, do you have all that you need? You might scream at me, no, I don't. But you have all that you need. Jesus did not tell them, you need more faith. He said, you need to exercise the faith that you have. You need to put the faith that God has given to you in action. How do I know that? Go to the next slide. For I say to you, through the grace of God give me. Gee, I didn't give you the verse reference. This is in the book of Romans. Romans. It's in the book. It's in the Bible. I think it's Romans chapter 4. I say to you, through the grace of God given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. That's that pride issue, right? Right? Remember we saw that in Habakkuk, right? But to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a what? A measure of faith. God has given to each one a measure of faith. That means you. He has given each one of us a measure of faith. And if you're looking at the NLT, Tony, I don't like the translation. Okay. A measure of faith. So that means each one of you have a measure of faith. If you're a Christian at all, you have a measure of faith. You might think, not me. I can't believe that. If only God would give me more faith, I'd be okay. And what you're doing is you're asking God for something that he isn't going to give you. I believe that faith increases with exercise. I believe that as I trust God for this and I discover his faithfulness, then my faith grows. So then I trust God for this. So there is an increase in faith, but you don't need more faith. Primarily what you need is to take the little bit of faith you have and trust God with it. To exercise it. And that means in this moment, I nakedly trust you, Lord. I trust you in spite of whatever I'm feeling, whatever the circumstances are, this measure of faith, this small little bit of faith that I have, I'm resting in you for it. And Jesus said, look, it will move mountains. In another verse, he talks about mountains going into the sea, doesn't he? And it's the truth. So you don't need to start hunting for more faith. If you do, you've sidetracked yourself and you've looked away from the supplier, from the person and the work of God, which he says, just rest in me, just trust me, and I'll do this. Just trust me. That's all. In other words, trust me that I've done it, that it's accomplished, that what I've done is yours and that you can yield to me right now. And how wonderful that is to know it. I'll give you a little example, and I think I've used this before, but it's a great example. Charles Price used it, thought it up, I guess. But just to think about three people getting on an airplane, and each one of them has to fly from here to Vancouver, okay? And it's a right from Sydney, Vancouver, just one plane. And one person, he flies all the time. Another person, he only flies, you know, just once in a while. And the third person has never flown before and is absolutely terrified. So the three people get to the plane, right? And here's the three of them. One has great faith. They have trust the pilots, they trust the planes, they have every confidence it's going to get to where it's going. So they just walk on the plane, sit down. The second guy, well, as long as he's looking at the first guy, he's okay. Because he looks at him reading the newspaper and says, well, yeah, that little turbulence is, yeah, he's just, that fellow there doesn't seem to be worried about it, so I'll be okay. The third one is a basket case. They get to the plane and is just absolutely terrified, just white knuckle gripped, and crawls on the plane, but gets on the plane, right? Now, which one had more faith? Help me out. That's right. The guy's comfortable and relaxed. Why does he have more faith? That's right. Because he's flown before. Because he's found out that the plane is dependable. And because of that, he's got on the plane, he's relaxed, he's enjoying the ride. The second one, well, he hasn't flown as much, so his faith may not be quite as much, but he's on the plane. And the third one is a basket case, but he's on the plane too, right? So, of course, we know that when the plane comes in to land, that the guy who had more faith is going to come in miles ahead of the guy who had the least. Right? The guy who had the lease, he's going to come flapping way behind the others. Is that right? They're going to come in at the same time. Aren't they? Yeah. Why? That's right. And who's doing all the carrying? Who's doing all the flying? The plane is. The plane is doing all the flying, right? It's not the people that's doing the flying, because the people that get on that plane, they're resting on the plane. Some are resting more than others, but that doesn't change the fact that the plane is going to get them to their destination. And so what I'm saying is we got to look away from ourselves and look to the provision that we have, and even a little bit of faith will get us there. The only thing is as your faith increases, you enjoy the ride a little better. And I know we all want to enjoy the ride. But even if you're not enjoying the ride in the moment, it doesn't change the reality that you've been crucified with Christ. Even if your feelings tell you everything is different than that, even if you look around and you're in a panic mode, it doesn't change the fact that you have been crucified with Christ. You're on the plane. He has done this, and he has risen you with Christ, raised you up with Christ, and in this moment you can present yourself to him to do something with you. Just present yourself with the little bit of faith you have. Not a great amount. Maybe it'll be a long time before you'll have a great amount. Because a measure of faith given to every man gives an indication that some people are going to indeed have more faith than others. But that's okay. Because it isn't the amount of your faith that's going to get you there. It's where you're putting it. And he can hold on to you. He can enable that to be a reality in your life and experience. And I thank God that he can. Hudson Taylor writes this, and he was a man who strove to serve the Lord, a man who went to China, and oh man, the stories that you read about Hudson Taylor's faith before this experience in his life would say, well, if only I could be like this man. But he discovered that all of his effort and all of his striving and all of his doing for God brought him to this place. And I'm going to just go to the next slide and read a little bit of what he had to say. Do you know, I now think that this striving, longing, and hoping for better days to come is not the true way to holiness. Have you ever done this? Have you been striving, longing, and hoping for better days to come? Have you? You know, sincere Christians often are there, aren't they? He says it's not the true way to holiness. Happiness or usefulness? It's better, no doubt, far better than being satisfied with poor attainments, but not the best way after all. I've been struck with a passage from a book entitled Christ is All. It says, the Lord Jesus received his holiness begun. The Lord Jesus cherished his holiness advancing. But the Lord Jesus counted upon as never absent would be holiness complete. See that? counted upon, reckoned upon, is never absent. My God is with me. God is with you. When is he with you? Right now. Is he big enough? Is he able enough? Has he done enough? Does he have to get back on the cross and do a little more for you because you're a real hard case? Does he? No. Absolutely, 1,000 times no. God is enough tonight. Enough for you right now. And take the little bit of faith you have and rest it there. And know that his sufficiency is enough. Absolutely enough. For all things at all times. Next slide. He is most holy who has most of Christ within, and joys most fully in the finished work. It is defective faith which clogs the feet and causes many a fall. This last sentence I think I now fully endorse. To let my loving Savior work in me his will, my sanctification is what I would live for by his grace, abiding, not striving or struggling. Looking off to him, trusting him for present power, resting in the love of an almighty Savior, and the joy of a complete salvation from all sin. This is not new, and yet is new to me. I feel as though the dawning of a glorious day had risen upon me. I hail it with trembling, yet with trust. I seem to have got to the edge only, but of a boundless sea, to have sipped only, but of that which fully satisfies. Christ, literally all, seems to me now the power, the only power for service, and the only grounds for unchanging joy. You see, faith, a little bit of faith, can look off to the faithful one. Not a striving to have more faith, but a looking off to the faithful one. Just resting in his work. God, you're going to carry me. And he does. I have proven him over and over again. I've seen him carry me. And he has not carried me because I'm a better person. He has not carried me because I've done well. He's not carrying me because I work really hard at being a Christian. I don't. I'm the most haphazard person you ever met. Ask my wife. I'm a chaotic man. I know that. And I marvel that God uses me. And it is simply because of grace. It isn't because I have got all my things lined up in a row. It isn't because I'm diligent to get up in the morning and spend hours before the Lord in prayer, because sometimes I don't at all. I don't. And I feel it sometimes because, oh, God, I didn't spend a lot of time with you this morning. And so, and I'm there, and I'm facing situations, and I say, God, grace, grace, and he just pours it on, because I believe he will. Because it's not dependent upon me. It's not him who wills, nor him that runs, but it's God who shows mercy. And that's always the case. Moment by moment, it's mercy that brings me through. It's grace that carries me. And it's grace that will carry any one of us. And it's just God's delight to bless us. To bless us. Isn't it wonderful? It's him that blesses us. We are so prone to think, if I could just perform well enough today, God would bless me tonight. And all the while, God says, you could never perform enough to get a blessing from me. It's just a free gift. Why don't you just believe it? Why don't you just rest in his wonderful and marvelous grace in the moment that you have? Now we look at the next thing, the position of faith. Faith looks away from self and feeling and experience to the truth that's in Jesus. Generally, when we talk about resting or trusting God or finding Christ to be sufficient for ourselves, most people come, they say, well, I just can't believe it for myself. I just don't feel like I've had it. I'm waiting for the experience to come. If I could just have something happen to me, and then I would feel it, and I would see it, and then I would know it. And people stay like that for years instead of realizing that's not where it's at. It is a looking away from self. It's looking away from feeling and from experience, away from all of that, and just nakedly saying, God, you are my all in all. You're the one that's carrying me. You have put me to death. You have raised me up. I have a new life in you, and I'm trusting you for it. And that's it, Lord. That's where I'm at. I can't go left. I can't go right. I'm just trusting you for it, to accomplish it in my life. And if you don't do it, it's not getting done. I've said that to the Lord so often. I've just said it plain to him. I said, God, if you don't do it, it's not getting done. Period. I am not getting on a treadmill to somehow try to please you and go nowhere. I've done that enough in my Christian life, and I'm sure many of you have. How did I receive Jesus Christ? What great work did I do to be saved? What did I do? You believed. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, and abounding therein with thanksgiving. Is that what it says behind me? Isn't that what it says? Right? How did I receive him? By faith. How am I going to walk? By faith. It's the only position I have. And yet, God calls me to it. God enables me to it. He gives me faith. And because of that, I can rest and I can be assured. The position of faith, we see it in this train picture here, and I know you've probably seen this before as well. The position of faith, I want you to just tell me which is the right position. Faith first, facts follow, and feelings in the caboose. Is that the right position? Somebody answer, yes or no. Faith at the front, the facts follow, and the feelings in the caboose. You said yes. Some people are saying yes. Oh, yeah. All right. Well, let's see if that's the case. Let's see the next one. Faith first, feelings follow, and then the facts in the caboose. Is that the right one? No. Next one. Feelings first, faith follows, and then the facts in the caboose. Is that right? Is anybody confused yet? Okay. Next one. Facts first, truth in Jesus, faith follows, in the facts, and then the feelings in the caboose. Is that one right? Who says that one's right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, there's quite a few of you. Let's go back to the first one, because some of them said they thought the first one was better. You're putting the faith in front, and the facts are behind faith. Is that a good idea? You think? Why? Yeah. So knowing it here is faith. Is that right? Yeah. But how does faith come? By what? Hearing. What? Hearing what? The facts, right? So if I don't get the facts first, then my faith is going to be, you know, it's like Disney's, all their movies. You just got to believe, right? Whatever the songs they are, they're all met with the same idea. But it doesn't tell you what to believe in, does it? Yourself, or that you feel good, that you're okay, I'm okay, you're okay, everybody's okay. That's faith going with nothing to establish it. And so that's why this one here doesn't work. Because faith is not the end, it's not the start. The truth is the start that's in Jesus Christ. My faith is in the truth, and my feelings follow. But it's a dreadful experience to be living by your feelings, isn't it? Haven't you been there? What a roller coaster you're on, constantly going up and down and all over the town because you feel this certain way, and so your faith is in your feelings, and if only God would make me feel better, then my faith would grow and everything would be all right, and meanwhile the facts are somewhere way behind us, way behind in the caboose, and sometimes I think they're even disconnected, right? And so we're living in this awful maelstrom of trying to believe what our feelings are trying to say to us. Instead of resting in the unchanging truths of God, that I have been crucified, that I have risen with Christ, that sin does not have dominion over me, no matter what my experience is in the given moment, Lord, I'm resting in who you are and what you've done for me, and that's enough, and I rest here with the little bit of faith I have. And so facts, then faith, and then feelings will follow. So the position of faith is important to know and to experience. And so I just want to conclude with these couple of words tonight, the simplicity of faith, just so you don't get this too complicated. It's not complicated. How do we know? Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as what? A little child will by no means enter it. As a little child. Oh, childlike faith. That's what God's looking for from you and me. A simple trust of God. This is a quote. The next one is a quote from Miles Standford's book, The Green Letters. And I don't know who originated this quote, but it's one that Tom MacDonald has quoted to me more than any other quote that he's ever quoted. To consent to being loved while unworthy is the great secret. Do you feel unworthy? Do you feel like your unworthiness holds you back? To consent to being loved while unworthy is a great secret. And you know, it really is. It's a faith that lays hold of the truth that God loves me, not because I'm worthy, never because I'm worthy, never because of my performance, but he just loves me, and I'm going to believe it. I'm going to rest in that. Sometimes we have a hard time believing that. Maybe our life experience has taught us that we can't really believe that that's true, that somebody would love us that much and that unconditionally. But I tell you, it's the truth, and it's the truth tonight. A childlike faith that rests in the love of God, that he has brought me and bought me and put me into this position with him. He is my life. He is my strength. He's my holiness. He's here, my everything, Lord. I got nothing and I will have nothing unless you do this in me every moment, and he will. He's enough. He's enough. No matter what you feel or who you are or what you've done, none of those things are the foundation for the Christian walk. The foundation for the Christian walk is that Jesus Christ has died for your sins, that he's put you to death with him, that he's risen from the dead, and he's raised you up to be with him in heavenly places. It's all founded in Jesus Christ and his work, and not in yours at all. And I'm so glad that's the case. You remember the story of the Syrophoenician woman, where she kept pestering him for an answer. Do you remember that story? And Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first, for it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she answered, said to him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." She didn't care about a lot of whatever, even the position of, that God had on the matter. Well, you know, it just has to be that it's not fit to give this to the little dogs, which were. She was a non-Jew. She was approaching Jesus from a Jewish position because she cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." She was using a title that belonged to the Jewish people, that Jesus was a Messiah for the Jews, and she was trying to come in under that umbrella. And he says, "Look, you're not under that umbrella. You're not a Jew. I'm sent to the Jewish race now. My disciples will go to the whole world with this message." But she said, "Look, that may be all true, but even the dogs can get the crumbs from the master's table. Even that, Lord." And so you can see here that it didn't matter what her position was. Even though she knew that she wasn't a Jew, it didn't stop her from crying out and believing that God could bless her and her daughter in spite of the fact of what her position was, and she got blessed. She got blessed. She believed. And Jesus said, "I've not seen such great faith in all of Israel." Because she didn't claim a blessing because of her position. She said, "True, I'm a dog, okay. But I can, you'll give crumbs to the dogs." He says, "Okay, I will. So she didn't rely on her position, and you don't have to rely on yours. You don't have to rely on who you are, or what you've done, or any of those things. Rely on grace. Faith does not create. You're not believing something, and that's going to make it so. Okay? Faith does not create, because then you're getting in a lot of effort. You're going to try and create something. Faith doesn't create it. It rests on God. God has already done this. So faith is simply resting in what God has already done. Knowing, reckoning, and yielding to God because of the facts. Christ has done all to place us in himself. Don't chase your feelings. Do not put it to your account because you feel it, but because it's so. Don't hold up your sincerity as if that will win the day. Being earnest and sincere is not the answer. And boy, that sounds like almost blasphemy or heresy. If you're sincere, that's what counts. I've heard that lots of times, haven't you? Man, sometimes we're sincere, but we're sincerely wrong, right? That's right, yeah. Supposing I was getting operated on and Charles was my doctor. And Charles was a good doctor. This is supposing he was. And his wife was the nurse. And they loved me, so they're being very sincere. They're going to operate on me. They get me on the table, and boy, they got me spread out, and they're doing everything right, and they're really sincere. But down in the basement, some guy mislabeled a bottle, and the bottle gets set up, sent up, hooked up. Instead of me getting some nice oxygen at just the right time, I get some kind of carbon monoxide or whatever it is in the wrong bottle, and I die. No matter how sincere Charles and Monica are, even if they're devoutly sincere about the whole matter, the problem is that there's a lie in the pile. And all their sincerity won't count. It won't count. It won't save me. It won't save you either. So it's not how sincere you are. Sometimes we think we're getting credits with God because at least, God, we're sincere. We really want you, Lord. We really want to rest in you. We really want to trust you, God. And we think, oh, this is, you know, at least I really want this. It's better than being totally cold and indifferent. I'll agree with you there. But there's something far better than that. And that is resting on the truth. And that will definitely be an answer. The day's been won by Jesus. You're his. Believe it. Isn't it great to think that it could be that simple? Believe it. Rest. 1,000 times a day, if you need to just come back to a simple place, I present myself to you, Lord. You're everything. You're doing it all. I'm resting. Thank you, Lord. The striving is over. My efforts, my sincerity, all that I could produce, Lord, I abandon it all and simply rest in what you can do in my life tonight, in this hour. Hey, 20 after. I don't have to run, drive fast to shed again. You have time for a few comments. Does it make any sense to anybody tonight? To consent to being loved while unworthy is a great secret. Yeah. It's a secret because most people don't believe it. It's not that it's a secret. It's in the Bible, but most people don't believe it. Oh. We do. We generate towards what we can do for God. We constantly go there. Yeah. And we feel that, you know, this then wins me merit. This is going to get me ahead. And all the while, God says, look, I've gotten you right into heaven itself here. Rest. Trust. Yeah. Anybody else? Huh? Yeah, whatever expresses itself, it says, I'm not trusting you, Lord. I can't trust you, Lord. If you can't trust him. The great sin is simply unbelief. That's the great sin. Everything else comes out of that. Yes. Yes. That's right. Yes. Yes. You think you're something, Gene. Yeah. Well, that's because they think that you think you deserve it and you've earned it. That's why. And that's all they know. That's the whole striving of religion and the lost world is you get what you deserve. Thank God I'm not getting what I deserve. Pardon? Is works. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else? Once for all. That's what that old song says. Christ has redeemed us once for all. You're safe. You're on the plane. Relax. Look over at the other guy. Just kind of resting a bit. But if you're on the plane, you're on the plane. It doesn't change your position. But it would be nice to enjoy the ride, wouldn't it? Maybe a little more. And realize, yeah, God's doing this. It's his business. I can rest. I can trust. Don't you worry that real resting, just trusting God in the moment, will produce a life that's incredible because it's God doing it. He'll produce that in you. You don't have to imitate him. You make a poor job of imitating what Jesus can do. If you just let him do it in you, you'll find he can do a good job of this. It takes a lot of strain and stress off, I can tell you that much. The other way, boy, it's an awful weight to be carrying. To try and do what Jesus has already done Don't go there. Let's close in prayer. Thank you tonight for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful truths that are in your word, Lord. And that, Lord, you are willing to do more for us than we're actually willing to believe you for. Open our eyes. Take us there. Thank you for the measure of faith you've given to each one of us. We pray that in the moment we will simply, wonderfully trust Jesus. I ask for it, Lord. Look forward to you doing this in each of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.